Welcome into another episode of Stephen A's World, the podcast. Up first today is Lou Diamond Phillips. We get into his acting and directing career, playing poker, and a whole lot more. Talk to me about that, what it's like to be on both sides of it. I mean, you obviously have a great acting career, but you're directing now, too. Talk to me about that for a second.
Yeah, it's very schizophrenic, bro. I've been directing for a long time. Don't always have to direct myself. But in this cast for Prodigal Son is so brilliant, so amazing. The crew is top-notch. And the writing is so solid that really, man, you just have to bring your A-game, your concentration, and your creativity, and lead the army and inspire everybody else to do their best work. So I'm incredibly excited about the episode. It's the mid-season finale, and I get to introduce Catherine Zeta-Jones and Alan Cumming to the cast, which is, forget about it. I'm the luckiest guy on the planet.
What I find phenomenal about it is that this is a series. We're talking about a guy that's a brilliant, criminal psychologist, essentially. You're like, you're like his mentor. The guy's father was a serial killer. His mother is a master manipulator. His sister's a television journalist. All of those storylines, I'm like, wait a minute, one of those characters could make the series. You've got a multitude of characters in this series. How much are you enjoying it?
You're absolutely right, man. I mean, anywhere you throw the ball, somebody is going to score. And then you take my team, which is the downtown spice kind of thing. I got Frank Hartson, Aurora Perrineau, and Keiko Agena really representing and putting a diverse face on New York City.
How much does locale play into the situation? This is just me and my curious self right here. How much does locale play into the fun of it all? And I ask that question because New York City, I mean, the weather stinks, and then you got serial killers that you have to deal with and all of this other stuff. Is it best that it's, placed in New York City, that you're an NYPD lieutenant as opposed to L.A., Chicago, or something like that? What do you think?
I mean, people say this all the time, but the location is certainly a character. It's New York City, so we're allowed to have a lot of diversity in our guest cast. Some stranger than fiction kind of storylines, which really allows us to push the envelope. And then just the beauty of New York, man. In my episode in particular, we got outside, into Midtown a little bit more. Obviously, the snow messes with us on occasion, the rain, right, whatever. We have some considerations that you wouldn't have, in California. But, I mean, it lends itself to the energy of the show and to the real grittiness and the feel of it.
Now, anybody that knows anything about Hollywood, Catherine Zeta-Jones, she's no secret to anybody. We know how great she has been. What has it been like working with her and directing her in this particular episode?
This woman is a dream. Let me tell you. I mean, sometimes you can be a little intimidated. You don't know what you're going to get. Somebody with that kind of resume, Oscar winner, Tony winner, been in huge blockbuster films. You don't know if you're going to have to cater to their every whim. Catherine came onto the set just an absolute pro, a team player, so warm and so friendly to everybody. And day one, man, she came to play. She was prepared, she was ready, and she and Michael Sheen have some amazing chemistry. So I'm very excited for everybody to see what she brings to the show, and the fact that she's a regular, she'll be with us for the rest of the season.
Wow, that's great news. Let me transition to the world of sports here, Lou Diamond Phillips, because I heard some very, very good news that I must say makes me very proud of you, sir. I mean, it's great enough that you're a great actor and what have you, and you've accomplished so many things, but this is special right here. You used to be a Cowboy fan, is that true? You used to be, but you're not any longer, is that true?
Don't give me any hate mail, man.
No, not at all.
I grew up in the day of Roger Staubach,
right.
All of the greats from the Cowboys back then. So that was a high bar to set. I don't know if they've gotten back up there since then. Plus, I've had four daughters. So I am not as much of a sports fan as I used to be, sadly enough. It extends to poker these days.
Well,
I can do on my own.
I don't know if you noticed or not, but you're talking to Stephen A. Smith. There's nothing sad about you leaving the Cowboy Nation. There's nothing sad. You did yourself a favor. You're adding years to your life. Trust me on this. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. I also heard that you used to play some poker and you were good friends with the late Dr. Jerry Buss for the Los Angeles Lakers, late owner for the Los Angeles Lakers. Is that so?
100% true. Yes. I still a big poker player. Very sad that, you know, the World Series has been put off because I was definitely going to play last year. We'll see what happens this year. But, yeah, I played with Dr. Buss, you know, God rest him, many, many times. We used to, you know, hang out at the Commerce together. He was so kind, invited me down to his box to watch the Lakers a number of times. He was a lovely, lovely man, and I consider myself privileged to have been his friend.
Let me embarrass myself on national TV right now, Lou Diamond Phillips. Do you know, I have to admit, I've never played poker. I don't know how to play.
Bring that television host money and we'll play.
I'm just saying, you'll take all my money. That's basically what you're telling me here. When you talk about the game of poker, I mean, a lot of people brag about, listen, you know how to play poker. It comes in handy in a lot of ways in life. Is that true? I don't know. I have no clue.
I 100% believe that, and I've even gone one step further and said the way somebody comports themselves at the table is how they live life. You know, You can tell who's brave, you can tell who's full of it, you can tell who's bluffing, but you can also tell who's patient, who's smart, who's strategic, who, you know, and as an actor, for me, one of the fun things is reading the table. Figuring out behaviors, figuring out, you know, what's going on inside their heads. That's one of the added twists for me as an actor, you know, that makes poker that much more exciting.
So let's get this straight. You're an actor. You're a poker player. You're also an author.
Yeah.
How did that book come about?
100% from my wife. She was the inspiration for it. When we first started dating, she was reading some of my writing. I was looking at a lot of the beautiful artwork she's done over the years. And back in the 90s, before it was cool, she was doing a manga-style drawing of what would be a graphic novel that was inspired by Hans Christian Andersen's The Tinderbox. I looked at her drawings and just, man, blew my mind. Really was evocative, I thought, of kind of a feudal Kurosawa galaxy far, far away story. And it first envisioned it as a movie, but then decided that, okay, well, let's write the book first so that we can create the entire world. It came out in November, has 30 beautiful illustrations from my wife, and zoomed straight to the top of a lot of the Amazon charts. The reviews were fantastic. It has sold very well. It is still available out there. It's called The Tinderbox, Soldier of Indira.
Tinderbox, Soldier of Indira. Lou Diamond Phillips, really appreciate you. Thank you so much for your time, man. Fox series, The Prodigal Son, Tuesdays, 9 p.m. on Fox. All the best to you moving forward, man. Keep doing the great work you've been doing.
Steven, thank you so much for having me, brother. Keep doing what you do.
Up next is NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman. The NHL is returning to ESPN, and we chat about that, a possible playoff bubble, and more. We all make mistakes as fans, y'all. Patriot fans leaving the arena for Super Bowl 51, down 28-3 at the half. Heat fans leaving before Ray Allen's comeback three in game six of the 2013 NBA Finals. I've been there. Trust me when I tell you I've been there. When I went to the 1994 NHL Eastern Conference Finals, believe it or not, Stephen A. was at the NHL Conference Finals. New York Rangers, New Jersey Devils. Game seven is coming down to the wire, y'all, and I decided to leave the damn game to beat traffic. That was the last time I was at a hockey game. I'm not going to front. Gary, can you forgive me? Can you forgive me, Gary?
Boy, there's a whole other side to you I didn't know existed. But by the way, this is some confession you made.
I have no choice but to confess. It was one of the worst mistakes I've ever made in my life. I couldn't believe I missed such a great moment, Gary.
We're going to bring you back to hockey in a big way. It's great to be with you. And I hope this is the first of many, many visits. And as you and I discussed before we went on the air, when our buildings are full again, you and I are going to take in a game together, and we're going to reconnect you to hockey.
I'm definitely going to take you up on that offer, consider it done. It's such an honor to talk to you, sir. Your buddy, your late buddy and mine, Commissioner David Stern, former commissioner of the NBA. We both miss him so much, and he always spoke so glowingly about you. You've got, obviously, the National Hockey League has signed a new deal. You're coming back to ESPN. I want you to talk about that for a second from the standpoint. What does this do for the National Hockey League? How are you feeling about, obviously, reestablishing this relationship with ESPN?
We're thrilled. We're excited. We think this is a great opportunity to expand our fan base and the interest of sports fans in general even more. And it's going to continue the great growth that we've had over the last couple of decades. And it's a testament to ESPN, to Jimmy Pitaro's vision. This is going to have a linear component on ESPN and ABC. There's going to be a streaming component on ESPN Plus and on Hulu, and this is going to be a way for fans, not just hockey fans, to connect with the game in even more ways. And I guess it's fitting that we're talking about this, because this is now an opportunity to connect you to the game as well. And, you know, like you, I started in basketball, and I've made the conversion. And so we're going to have you do the same thing. So this is all good. It's really a great opportunity for the game to continue to grow and be promoted by ESPN, who's known, coincidentally or not so, as the world leader in sports. So it's all a good marriage.
How much did the National Hockey League need this right now, considering the pandemic and the devastating effect it's had on all of us across the stratosphere?
That's a great question. And what we've lived through, not just in hockey, not just in the sports world, but in society, is you're looking for normalcy and wherever you can find it, and to have yet another place to connect with our game and our players who are so outstanding. You know, our game is faster, more skillful, and younger than it's ever been. And the competitive balance that we have is simply extraordinary. And to bring this to more people from more places, I think, is great for sports fans, but it's also great for the continued growth of our game.
It's interesting that you bring that up, because not to ask you to get into another sport, because I'm certainly not asking that. But when we look at Major League Baseball, we talk about folks have lamented its inability or unwillingness, whatever word is appropriate, to really ingratiate yourself with a younger audience, to really attach yourself to them on a come up. When you speak about hockey in the fashion that you just spoke about hockey, clearly that's something that you're paying attention to. Can you speak to that for a second in terms of just a willingness and a commitment to really pay attention to that growing audience, that younger audience out there looking to attach themselves to a sports league like the National Hockey League?
I think that young fans are looking not just for ways to connect to whatever form of entertainment they want on their terms. They're looking for something that's exciting, entertaining, edgy, competitive. We're all of those things. We're fast, we're physical, we're skillful. What our players do on ice is simply amazing. In fact, what they do on skates is what everybody else in every other sport has to try and do in terms of skill and hand-eye coordination and reflexes. And our guys are simply amazing. And it's something that, because of the speed and the emotion and the tempo of our game, it's something that all sports fans, I think, really, when they have an opportunity to see it, gravitate to, but particularly young fans who are consuming everything differently than people your age or my age have.
Well, I got news for you. You don't have to convince me about the skill of National Hockey League players, because I'm telling you something right now. You want to see Stephen A. Smith at his most embarrassing moment imaginable. See me on ice skates. I couldn't get 3 feet without falling. I can promise you that. But with that being said, let me ask you this question, Gary, because, again, you're talking about the National Hockey League and the state of affairs that exists right now. How are you feeling about where you are right now based on some of the changes that may have taken place in recent memory? How do you feel the game has evolved in the last few years?
We are the most competitive of the major sports leagues in terms of our competitive balance. Night in and night out, any team can win. Our races go down to the last week or so of the regular season. Our playoffs, many people, including Scott Van Pelt, your colleague, saying that we have the best playoffs in all of sports. That's all a testament to our competitive balance and how great our players are and how competitive. And I also think we have the most avid fans. I know a lot of people have shied away from the game because they don't understand it, but technology is actually bringing more and more people into the game. We have player and puck tracking. You're able to see exactly what's going on the ice, get into the game, see a player skating at 30 miles an hour, skating 4 or 5 miles, seeing a puck travel at 80 to 100 miles an hour, seeing the amazing things that our goaltenders do. So using technology to bring the game to more people in more ways is going to continue the growth of our game, and that's something we're committed to.
Obviously, with the pandemic, there are some challenges that still lie ahead because we obviously are progressing, but we're not completely out of the woods. We all know that. Is there going to be bubble play come postseason for the National Hockey League? Have you thought about that at all? What kind of things have you done to prepare yourself for what's coming?
Well, we obviously, as I think everyone knows, we had the two bubbles in Canada over the summer to complete the 19-20 season, 33,000 tests. And not one of our players tested positive, because once we got into the bubble, it was really safe, not just the protocols, but how we were able to insulate everybody from the outside world and the spread of COVID-19. Everything we've done, either then and now, is first and foremost about safety and health, not just of the players and other hockey personnel, but of the communities in which we play. And so that's why we're playing a reduced schedule. That's why we have all sorts of protocols, which our people have been absolutely spectacular, particularly the players, in complying with. We also had a real line because we can't get in and out of Canada, which is why we've had the North Division and realignment. We're hoping by the time of the conference finals that we can do some travel for the Canadian team that will be in the conference finals, and if it makes the Stanley Cup final. But we defer to the Canadian government at all levels. We don't want to do anything that's inconsistent with what Canada wants us to do. But we're hopeful by the time we get to the conference final. And if it means setting up some sort of bubble in Canada, we'll do that for that one team. And bringing the U.S. team in and out. If we can't do that, we'll have to make other arrangements. But we understand, with everything that's going on in the world, we have to be respectful of what the governmental authorities and the medical people tell us is all right to do.
Veering a little left on an equally serious matter, obviously you've got an executive inclusion council, and I want to know how you feel about the work that they've been doing. Obviously, when you look at hockey, addressing issues of diversity and being more inclusionary, and you being friends with the late great David Stern as well as myself, we know how important such issues were to him, and I imagine they're very important to you because you're on that council as well. Can you talk to me about whatever progress you believe has been made as it pertains to that?
Yeah, Kim Davis, who is our senior executive vice president and runs social impact and growth and our legislative affairs, has been instrumental in setting up a series of committees and councils which are going to build on the work we've done over the last two decades. And whatever we've been doing has been a step forward, except we can do more. But not just at the NHL level, at all levels. And the purpose of our councils is to set goals and objectives and to hold ourselves accountable so that the progress will be tangible. We have a declaration of principles which sets out what our values of the game are, but most importantly, we want, particularly for young people, to be welcoming and inclusive and diverse. That will help grow the game, but more importantly, it will use the game to send the right message at all levels of the game, as I said, particularly for young people.
Gary Bettman, National Hockey League Commissioner, right here with yours truly. Really appreciate your time, sir. Looking forward to going to the game with you. I do have a buddy by the name of Don LaGreca that tries to teach me hockey every now and then, but hell, he's not going to give me better lessons than the commissioner. I don't think he'll do that.
My mission will be to turn you into a knowledgeable fan and, most importantly, get you to love the game the way hockey fans do.
I will confess, I loved how the games were outdoors. The All-Star games, I mean, I loved that outdoor look. It was fabulous. I got to admit that.
It's all good, right? It's all part of being a fan.
That's right. Appreciate you, Commissioner. Thank you so much for your time, buddy.
Thanks for having me. Great to be with you.
Big thanks to Commissioner Bettman for chatting with me. Can't wait till I can go to a game with him someday. Someday. The last guest today is Darius Rucker, first known for being in the group Hootie and the Blowfish, and then venturing over to country music as a solo artist. I chat about that move, his sports fandom, and of course, Trevor Lawrence. My brother, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm good, Steven. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, man. Listen, before I get into it, because I know you know your sports, and I got a couple of questions to throw in your direction. But before I get into any of that, Post Malone, he sat up there and you know, put a cover out. You know, obviously, Hootie and the Blowfish, I only want to be with you. Did you see it? What you thought? What did you think about it?
I loved it. I think it's incredible. And we didn't know. I'm like, it just came on my feed today, and I was like, oh, my goodness. I'm over the moon. There's nothing else now. We've done it all.
What's going on with you these days? Obviously, you had an incredibly successful career and what have you. You've earned the right to chill out, but you're not doing that. What's going on with you these days? Tell our audience this.
Just working. I'm ready to get back on the road. This whole thing this year has been crazy, man. Everybody knows that. I'm just ready to get back on the road and play some music.
When we look at you and we've seen what you've done, obviously you had a successful pop career as well before you transitioned to country music. Could you educate us about why you made that transition, when you made it, and why you felt the need to make that transition? Because it's clearly worked out great for you.
I've always been a fan of country music, and it really was one of those things I always said I'd do it someday by myself. And one day one of the guys in Hootie came and said he didn't want to be a touring band anymore. And so I was like, well, I guess I'll go make my country record now. I didn't think it would be this, Steven. I'd be lying to you. Because, you know, when I came in, there wasn't any black faces in country music. And I was the pop guy. That never works either. So I didn't think I had a chance. But I had some people really behind me, and I wrote some pretty good songs. And, you know, 10 number ones 14 years later here, I'm still here.
And you're still here. And how do you feel the country music world has embraced you? They clearly can't deny your greatness, what you've been able to do. But in terms of being receptive, like opening the doors, not just for you, but for so many others, could you talk about what country music has done, not just specifically for your career, but for African-Americans across this nation? Could you talk about that for a second?
It's done a lot for me. And the thing that really got me when I started playing country music is all the African-American people who came to me and said, I love country. I didn't say anything or didn't tell anybody, and now I got somebody that looks like me, and, you know, I can like that. And that made me feel good, but now I see Kane Brown and Jimmy Allen and Mickey and Reese Palmer and all these folks getting record deals and having number one hits, Blanco Brown, you know, and it's like, it seems like country music has finally said, hey, man, you know, let's stop being exclusive and be inclusive, because these people have great voices and are writing great songs. And I'd love to see it happening. I said the other day, it's the black renaissance in country music. I just hope they keep signing folks and giving them record deals and giving them a chance.
Got you. Let me transition to some sports here, because you are a Miami Dolphins fan. Die hard Miami Dolphins fan.
Yes.
First of all, I need a couple of explanations. Now, you are from South Carolina. I know you live in Nashville, but you're from South Carolina, correct? Is that correct?
Yes,
right?
And
that's correct. And you love your South Carolina Gamecocks. Is that correct?
Go there, Lady Gamecocks, national champions. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, the Carolina Panthers are not too far away from the South Carolina Gamecocks. How come you're not a Carolina Panther fan, Darius Rucker? Why is it the Miami Dolphins instead of the Carolina Panthers?
I like the Panthers, but it happened way before the Panthers. I was a kid. I was 5 years old. This is 1971, and the Dallas Cowboys were playing the Miami Dolphins in the Super Bowl. And I asked all my family who they were going for, and they all said Dallas. So I said, I'm going for the Dolphins, and they lost. And I'll never forget this, Steven. They lost. I'm five, and I cry. I cry. Can't stop crying. The next year, I'm turning six. I start to play Pop Warner football, and the Dolphins go undefeated. That was pretty easy.
Wow. Yeah, that was pretty easy. Now, we got to transition.
That was pretty easy.
Listen, you got to say MGC Sports. Your partner in that firm, they obviously represent football players and others, and you've got the potential number one overall pick in Trevor Lawrence. Talk to me about that.
Yes.
How excited are you guys for him, his potential, and more importantly, your organization that you're a part of?
Oh, I'm so excited. I've been with MGC for a while now, and I'm very excited about that. But when we signed Trevor, we had a chance, we were excited. Mm-hmm. And now to sign him, he's such an amazing kid. He's a great football player, and he's better off the field. As an agent, he's a dream. And I mean, he's got that hair and he's got that face. It's going to be a lot of fun with Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, you do know he's going to make big-time endorsement money off of his hairdo alone. No more Troy Polamalu or pair them together. You got the new dude right there. You know that, right?
We do.
But Darius Rucker, before I let you get on out of here, where did he play?
Playing at Clemson. I know. Like I always say, I don't dislike Clemson people and students, just the entity that is Clemson.
Just the entity, right? What's South Carolina football going to do this year? I'm not holding COVID and all of this stuff against them. This season was an aberration. We all know that. But once things get back to normal, SEC football is SEC football. I'm looking at South Carolina. What are your expectations for them moving forward in the near future, sir?
Well, this year under Coach Beam, I'd like to just make a bowl game. That would be great. But I'm tired of coaches coming in and just doing a little and not making a move. You know, I see what Clemson's doing. You even see what Coastal Carolina's doing. And I'm like, let's do something. We don't have to win every year, but let's just do something. Let's get in the SEC championship game. That'd be nice in a couple of years. So I hope he does. You know, he's already doing great. He's recruiting well. I hope we can actually win at some point.
See, I like that because you got opinions, but you're so smooth about it. You're not mean like me. You're so smooth about it and nice, but you basically let them know, look, we need to do something. We can't be standing still. I like that, Darius Rucker. I appreciate you, man.
I mean, I want to win. I love you, man. I love talking to you. Every time I text you, you make me laugh. Man, you're the man, Stu.
So are you, my brother. Thank you so much for being on the show. We'll talk soon.
Thanks for having me, man.
Thanks again to all my guests this week. And you know the deal. Make sure you rate, review, and follow so you don't miss a second. And for the full Stephen A. experience, there's only one way to do that, and that's heading over to ESPN Plus. And if you don't have ESPN Plus, what are you waiting for? Go to ESPNplus.com and sign up now.